are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. For those of us who really enjoy the best of Asian art cinema that occasionally has really badass martial arts, a new film by Zhang Yimou. Are you sure? Are you just making that
No,
up?
Because Mandarin is one of those languages that is just inescapable on me because it's tonal and I cannot pronounce tonal shit. I think the closest we'd get of an American Asian is Zhang Yimou.
Well, probably ask Iron Man. He probably knows.
Probably.
But the occasion of a new film coming out by him is always a matter of celebration. Who has gone from more serious dramatic fare like Raise the Red Lantern to more really extreme visual martial arts fare like Hero or yeah. House of Flying Daggers or Curse of the Golden Flower, A Woman, a Gun, and a Noodle Shop, criminally underseen film, by the way. Where he
wow, I haven't seen that one. Little, I'll never check it out.
A little Agatha Christie movie by Zhang Yimou.
His quiver is full of these incredible Chinese cinematic tropes, but he really kind of leans into the West as well to bring the best of that in. He's amazing. I think he's one of the best Chinese filmmakers out there.
Oh, no question.
Without any question.
And this new film, Shadow, has been getting raves across the board at the 55th Golden Horse Awards, which is basically the Chinese Oscars. It was nominated for, as near as I can tell,
everything.
Single award.
Yeah.
It won Best Director, it won Best Visual Effects, Best Art Direction, and Best Makeup and Costume Design, all of which I could safely say it deserved.
Yeah, well done. It really, just getting off the bat, this is for me, this is his throne of blood. Mm. I mean, it really has that, there's an extreme Shakespearean quality to this.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, the really bloody, holy fuck tragedies where if not everybody, at least most people die. And then added on to that is this incredible use of the palette, which is it's not filmed in black and white, but everything pretty much is, other than skin tones, black and white.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice.
Yeah, it's a really interesting choice, and it works because the leitmotif throughout the entire film is the Tai Chi symbol that we're all familiar with, the yin yang.
Yes.
Well, that, and it's raining a lot, and it really lends to that as well.
It's apparently, in the wherever the equivalent of the Pacific Northwest in China is, which I'm probably the Pacific Northeast.
Non-stop monsoon season.
Yeah, it's just,
where this is.
It's always raining, there's no greenery, everybody, no matter who the force being representative is, all of the armor is black. You know, the only delineation seems to be if you're commoner status, you're wearing white, and if you're, warrior or noble, you're wearing black.
Well, first off, before we get started, I'm Chris.
I'm Mike.
Bo.
This was really one of my most anticipated foreign films this year. I'd heard so much about this. I had to fight to get this movie.
And it is actually showing in Austin, so if you are listening to us here, it is going to be shown at AFS.
The guy who runs AFS is the guy who finally, after going through 8 different representatives of trying to get a link, they were like, there's no such thing, we're not giving out links.
Yeah.
He was the guy who went, give this guy a link. So I'm grateful.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you, AFS. We ended up watching it at home, but as soon as you put out on the horn that, hey, this is showing, I saw the trailer at AFS, and I was holy shit, this looks fucking incredible. And that was even before I knew that Yimou was doing it. So
I'm going to rely on Bo, who is awfully good at giving a plot summary, to give the plot summary.
So basically it is a time where there are 3 kingdoms in China, or an approximation of China, and everything has kind of come down to the fact that there's this walled city the Citadel, which is kind of being co-owned, and it officially belongs to this clan by the name of Pei. But the people who are actually guarding it are the Yang clan. And, you know, so ostensibly it's Pei, but in reality it's Yang. And this is a source of great shame to the Pei clan. And at this point, the Pei are represented by a king and a warlord called the commander. And the general sentiment of the Pei is they want to take back the city. But the king is this kind of effete drunken poet guy, and he's like, no, we went through so much to achieve this alliance, and we're going to maintain it at all costs. We must maintain the detente. And there's the commander is basically comes to him when he's, you know, basically being a horrible king and, you know, fucking his concubines and you know, dithering about with his sister, and says, "I've challenged the champion of Yang to a duel, and we're going to fight it at the, you know, ostensibly the gates of the city."
For the rights to take the city.
Right, for basically the rights of who controls the city. And he's like, "Holy shit, you fucked up. You know, this is going to, you know, completely destroy all of my plans," but he can't really do anything because the commander and his, you know, the fact that he has great faith with the other, nobles in Pei, means that the king can't do anything so overt as just have him beheaded.
Of course, the big shocker here that the movie reveals is that the commander, mm-hmm. as such, played by actor Deng Chao, who you might know from The Mermaid, is actually not the commander.
Who we think the commander is.
Yeah, the title Shadow refers to him specifically because the actual commander, who had been in a near fatal duel with the leader of this other city,
the guy that he challenged, when they actually went to war, was dealt a near fatal blow, and so he's actually incredibly debilitated. He's kind of on his last legs, but years ago, his father was killed due to court intrigue, and so his uncle basically scoured the countryside and he found this young man that looked very much like him and raised him in secret so that if they ever needed to use a double, they could use him. And, you know, this has been a plot element of a lot of things. History of the World Part 1 for
Prince and the Pauper.
Prince and the Pauper.
It's like the darkest version of Prince of the Pauper.
and the Roman emperors actually use it, and hell, probably the Chinese emperors.
Which, interestingly, they are both played by the same actor. I watched this and went, like, that can't be the same actor. You never for a second think it's the same actor because the original version is just so, like, haggard and just ruined and, like, looks so different that I was almost like, you guys didn't even need to go through the trouble to cast the same actor if this is what you were going to do.
Exactly. And so the Shadow Commander is basically living in the Commander's palace. He is, you know, even so far as, like, he's sleeping in the same room as his wife.
Faking a relationship.
Whereas the Commander is living in, like, this secret cavern below the palace where the Shadow was actually, that's where he was raised and trained. And he is training the Shadow Commander in order that he can get good enough to defeat Yang, who is like the champion of champion. He's the Chinese Achilles. Nobody has ever been able to come close.
He's also the one who originally defeated the original commander.
Exactly. Yeah. And at the front, when the Shadow Commander tells the king that he's challenged this guy to a duel, he's like, "What are your chances of defeating him?" And he's like, "Maybe 3 in 10. So the odds are not in his favor. Nope. So, you know, and then the machinations begin, and the first front of this is kind of all of the court intrigue.
Lots of very Shakespearean intrigue.
Very Shakespearean intrigue of power players and people trying to get the king, you know, finagled into a position where he will actually declare war. All the while, there are training sequences, really cool kung fu training sequences going on in the cavern because, like I said, they're trying to figure out a way to get past this guy's guard.
Real commander is trying to train fake commander how to do it, and as it turns out, his wife is the one who's got the key, who is like, you're doing this all wrong. You're fighting super aggressive fighting with super aggressive fighting, and that's not going to work versus a superior fighter.
Like the young fighters, they're fiery, whereas we are water fire. So it's basically, it literally is a question of yin and yang.
So relax, guys. We're talking about Shakespearean. We're talking about Kurosawa. There comes a point in this film about the less than halfway point where, oh my God, lots of really cool, like kung fu weapons you've never seen before. And I mean, the fights,
the fight sequences and the training sequences are impressive enough. And they definitely do a good job of going back and forth between, you know, the chatty stuff, the exposition stuff, the intrigue stuff, and doing enough with the training sequences that they keep you interested. But then, you know, they find their secret weapon and they cut to the duel, and that's when shit starts to get super fucking interesting from an action standpoint.
Like, it's fairly grounded up to that point too, which I think is one of the most shocking things, I think, up till that point, based on how everything else was going.
I think, you know, it almost still does, like, you know, maintain a Shakespearean quality, though, because if you've read Macbeth, you realize at one point, one of the tactics is everybody pretends to be a forest and they move across Scotland.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that's an actual thing that happened.
Thing that happened. And so, yeah. And man, the weapon device in this is so, like, wow, but yeah, it's pretty amazing. So cool, and it works really well. There's a little bit of the subplot where one of the lords who is you know, extremely in favor of going to war again. Basically, there's this group of brigands that is brought on, and they are taught how to fight with this new yin technique.
To be clear, this isn't, I know a lot of people are like, so are we talking Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon level fighting, like the more wushu stuff, or are we talking more like,
there's no
more
wire,
like fighting? Yeah. It's, they're probably, I mean, I'm sure.
I mean, there are wires, but nobody's flying. Nobody's jumping across.
Nobody has
rooftops.
Magic powers.
There's no magic powers. Yeah.
There's never the feeling of that sort of sense of zero gravity, if you will.
It's incredibly acrobatic fighting, but there's no sense of defying gravity. Exactly.
But it is very impressive. It's very bloody, this film, and denouements into,
and that's where you get only time anything isn't black or white in this is when it's red.
Yeah,
a lot of red.
It completely starts and ends Shakespearean as fuck.
Yeah,
and absolutely. That means like it ends in a very, very bloody way,
and that's why it really does remind me of Throne of Blood, because Throne of Blood, in my opinion, the greatest adaptation of Macbeth that's ever been made, hands down. And it's got those, like, there's nothing gravity defying in Throne of Blood, but from an action standpoint, like the last bit is one of the coolest things Kurosawa ever did.
But I'm saying the middle is for people who are into these films for action.
Yeah,
you'll be satisfied. There's cool new weapons and badass shit going on all over the place. But please do not think that you're going to be bored by the other sections. Now, this is a cinematic film. This is a movie that you really do, actually, I'm sad we did not get to see it in a theater. I begged for a theater screening, and they wouldn't, because I knew this was a movie for that.
And it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. Like, these sequences, these court intrigue sequences in that first act, they are so beautiful that it just takes your breath away how well it's filmed.
Yeah.
I do love that, like, all the kimonos have this sort of, like, black and white tie-dye look to
them. Well, they're robes. Kimonos are Japanese.
Yeah, sorry. Robes. Whatever.
Racist.
You know. I'm, did you say racist?
Wow. Yeah. That's a good term.
I like that.
Get that into your woke vocabulary.
Wow, somebody needs
warriors.
To put that in there. Yeah. Racist. I like it. It is hauntingly beautiful.
Oh my God, vocabulary.
Vocabulary.
Oh man, that's a dictionary. Fire.
It's got this great score that's very sort of like, which plays into sort of even the plot of the film, because there's a thing where the king seems to be maybe the tiniest bit suspicious that his commander is not actually the commander he thinks he is.
He's suspicious he's Alec Baldwin.
he's like, yeah, I'm sorry, do the joke. You're dying to
it's
do the
late.
Joke.
It's too late, I already did it.
All right, fair enough. The shadow joke. You are the evil that he sees in men. It's true. Where he's like, oh, these two, him and his wife, are famous for having this incredible, like, zither team on stage. They're like duo with Mike Watt and Kira. It's like very obscure reference. Sorry.
I got that one.
Wow. No, you didn't.
Well, I feel like you've said that joke before.
No, that was a new one. I'm pretty sure I haven't come to that before. But the point is, like, he's challenging them. He's doing things along the way. It's like, I'm kind of feeling like something's a little bit off here. And all of those things really...
Yeah, and he's also, I mean, he's locked into a power structure that is very familiar to the Chinese people because, you know, if you study the dynastic history of China, it's a lot of cases. It's like, oh, I'm the emperor, but my greatest warrior has just killed me and become the new emperor, because that's just how, you know, same thing for Rome. It was, you know...
Shit gets overturned a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of turnover when you have a great big military success. And so he's suspicious of this guy, and he also knows that, you know, he's basically fucking up the program that he, you know, because he is this huge peace advocate, he, you know, and for his own ends, to be sure, but he's just like, we've got it good, let's not, you know, fuck things up and let me lose power.
I do want to address that. I think that the performances here are terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, genuinely, I mean, even, I know a lot of people go, I don't know if the performances are terrific or not if they're not speaking my language. Oh, you know, good these performances are. They are so heartfelt and not... I watch a lot of Asian films, and you can tell when they're hyperbolic and, like, over the top, and you can tell when they're, like...
No, exactly. And not to mention, you know, you have one guy playing two incredibly distinctly
different
roles, yeah. Even though he's ostensibly playing a guy who's a double.
Yeah.
And then you also have two really powerful leads, one of which is Madam, which is the wife of the commander, and the other is the princess of Pei, which is the sister of the king. And then the king himself, and they're all just like really knocking it out.
So if I do have a complaint, it's that they so talk up in almost a third man sort of sense the guy who is the person who's running, who's the person they have to defeat in the other city, and he's kind of awesome when you meet him, that I kind of wish the movie had gone back more to his side and we got to know more of his story. I was like, this isn't set up for a very interesting character, and there's just enough. And I kind of would have liked if there was like a separate like subplot going on there that was more explored.
I was never looking at my watch at but I think if you did that, you're getting into a 3-hour movie. Yeah.
No,
my favorite thing about the way they talk about Yang was that like they talk about him like he's a crazy person, but every time they cut to him, he's this super laid,
super sane,
chilled back dude.
No, he really is in many ways the most honorable person in the entire cast. Yeah. You know, he you know, even his son, who is also, you know, a minor character, well, not a minor character, but a supporting character, you know, even his son does some stuff that's questionable, but he is just like, you know, he's like, oh, you want to have a duel? Okay, I will absolutely do that.
Regardless, you can't front on the visual style of this film. Man. You can't front on the gorgeous soundtrack. Like I said, uses a lot of the zither, which is a big plot element of the film as well, and does it in like, man, the zither scenes, which is a big thing of this, it's like punk rock zither, man. It's like crazy.
They're banging it out. It's like Lemmy playing bass.
It totally is. It was like, we were joking during the movie. It's like, there's that point where like, they do this crazy aggressive zither team thing, and then you expect her to go, it seems like the next song that would happen. I would like to hear that played on the zither. If anyone has a link, I want to see that. But let's go into final thoughts. Michael, what do you think?
I thought this movie was amazing. Like, it's gorgeous. Everybody's, you know, doing really well acting-wise. There's a lot of little subplots that could have easily overtaken the film, but it doesn't. There's so many shocks and twists throughout this entire thing. Like, really, the closest thing to an issue I had is that I wasn't sure what the third act was sometimes, because it just sort of kept making more and more things happen, which I didn't complain about, because it was just more awesome things happening.
Yeah, no, I...
And so, like, it's really the closest thing to a complaint I have. If you're not, like, big on foreign films, then, like, you might have some issues keeping up with some of the dialogue. I watch a lot of anime and subs.
It is a little confusing at first. You have to watch it very carefully to figure out what the plot is in that.
Yeah, they don't really ease you in. You know, they give you, there's a little bit of a text at the very beginning of the movie where they're
but even
like,
with
here,
that.
Here's the setup, but you got to pay it. You really have to pay attention before the ball is
circling. Once you get past that first act, you get it, though.
Yeah. Not even the first act. It was like, once you get past the first two scenes, it comes together.
There's a lot of setup, but there's so much goddamn payoff in this movie. And I was enthralled the entire way through. I wouldn't mind watching this again. Hell, if knowing it's in a theater, I might try to watch that too, actually.
Yeah, that's dude.
I highly recommend this.
Have you seen Hero like out of curiosity?
I have, actually.
Yeah, Hero's
that's one of the reasons I had originally asked.
Okay.
And if you have, it's way more on the other side of the spectrum and no battle sequences or kung fu sequences or any of that. But if you haven't seen Race the Red Lantern, holy shit.
Which is also good. Well, this is like a mix between those two films.
It really is.
Where it's like that, like, there are some incredible martial arts stuff, but there's also like the drama done at like top of the line form. Anyway, I'm sorry, Michael. It's your
turn. No, it's okay. I was going to talk about, there's so much, like, it's, everybody's right. It's Shakespearean and it's tragedy and it's triumphs and it's setup and it's ending too. It's just it's such a beautiful movie, beginning and end. A beautiful study of how people react to weird situations, and even a beautiful study of what are you willing to do, given not a choice sometimes, kind of thing.
What do you mean?
Like, it's just like you feel like you have no choice, but at the same time, like you do. Like it's
whether you walk away or
whether you walk away, even though you have every option not to, like, kind of thing. It's I don't know, it's so goddamn gorgeous. Like I said, closest thing to a complaint, so I guess I have to, I'll dock part of it only because of that. I'll give it 9.5 violent Prince and Poppers out of 10.
What about you, Bo? Sir Bo?
I was delighted. I was delighted with this. I've kind of seen, two movies in a row that I wasn't all that into. And so I may just be in a totally receptive phase for anything that's good.
Ready for something better to come.
Yeah, but this hits so many of my sweet spots. It's foreign. It's very artistic. There's incredible action sequences. It has a, Asian epic. Generally translates into stuff that's a lot more representational, but this felt fully like more of a Shakespearean Western experience as far as the story goes. It's very close and intimate, and the things that happen, a lot of the one-on-one sequences between the characters reminded me of, like, the intimate conversations in, say, The Handmaiden.
Another deeply underseen, amazing film.
Yeah. It really, it does this job of doing intimacy really well, and then at the same time providing spectacle and action on a really superlative level. I had so much fun with this, and even though we were watching it in the living room and kind of cracking wise every now and then, I was still just fully brought into this world. I loved the filmic effects were incredible as far as the use of palette. It just utterly gorgeous, and well-made Chinese movies always are gorgeous, but this, like, really hits that nth level of just arresting your eyes and being total candy. I really don't have any bad things to say about this. I mean, I'm sure if I, sat and granted we're doing this review right after watching it, I'm sure maybe if I sat around for a couple of weeks, I could come up with some nits to pick at, but I was just loving it the whole way through. So I'm going to be that guy and give it a 10 out of 10 beautiful black and white parasols.
So, I watch a lot of Asian films because I'm always chasing that dragon, man. Like, you know, like, so to speak.
Oh, it's got the dragon stand.
Of, like, those movies that every once in a while that come out of Asian cinema, Asian action art cinema, that so transcend anything that American cinema is even capable of doing.
Right.
Just that beautiful mixture of, like, gorgeous cinematography, incredible music, incredible acting, and
I mean, that's why Kurosawa is my go-to
and acting, action that surprises you and is so visceral and does things you've never seen before. I mean, obviously, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon and Hero were both giant shots across the bow for American audiences to be like, hey, this is going on. This is a thing. But I've been watching this stuff since the 80s following this culture of filmmaking, which originally was like Chinese-Japanese, but since has like expanded onto other different Asian cultures as well that all seem to be coming back to the same touch points. But Zhang Yimou is one of the masters of this. I have a feeling 30 years from now, people will talk about him in the same sentences that they talk about Kurosawa.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, Buñuel or Truffaut as well. You know, he's already made a stalwart of himself. And yeah, this is a guy. He's going to keep giving us like this gold for the rest of his life.
And this is gold. This is one of my favorite films by him. I do think that like if you're one of those people who are into it more for like a straight action film, you're expecting more of Hero or House of Flying Daggers. Sure. This is definitely pulling back a bit from that. That stuff is in here and it delivers in a beautiful, incredible way, but it's not the bulk of the film. It's maybe 35% of the film is that.
Right.
A lot of it is super Shakespearean, super Kurosawa, like, and in the best possible way. It all works. It genuinely fits together in a great way. I wish we had more movies like this that were going like let's mix. I wish America would have that
idea of
why don't we have a mixture where there's sequences of action that are so astonishing in it they blow the back of your head off of how incredible they are. But the drama and the script writing and the acting lives up to it for the rest of the film as well.
There was a one moment in this movie that I went, I wish they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And those movies are kind of few and far between for me now.
But, yeah, this is pretty startling, and I'm going to give it 9.5 out of 10 Umbrella Gatling guns, which is pretty much how it was.
I can't wait to see the sci-fi movies people rip these off of.
Yeah, the mockbusters. Do you think they're going to pay enough attention to it for the asylum to get on and be like?
Well, they made Star Wars has a lot of like you know a Kurosawa shit taken. So like, let's see what people make after this.
Yeah, man.
I guess anything's possible.